last few weeks, we've been preparing ourselves in the concept of what it's going to be like when Mashiach comes. And this week, we're going to continue, but in the next direction. Often I hear the question, and I hear this quite often from high school kids more than I do Beis Medrash. What will technology be like when Mashiach comes? Are we going to have the same things that we have today? Is it going to be the same when Mashiach comes? Are we going to have computers, cell phones? Is it going to be smart appliances? Is the world going to be similar to the world that we're seeing right now, or is something going to be a little bit different, aside from the change to government bodies that are going to be around? What will be when it comes through there? So I'm going to bring two shitos, and I think that we can merge them into one, but they are different. They're definitely different. One is from a Rebbe of mine, Revelio Levin. Revelio Levin was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Shari Tuna in Eretz Yisrael. Never went to that yeshiva, but I got close with him when I was in Kol in the Mir. And he used to tell me that everything we receive in this great world of ours, everything that we have, comes at a price, comes with a certain price to it. Our ancestors, obviously, did not have heating and air conditioning. They didn't have running water. They didn't have flushable toilets. They didn't have deodorants, perfumes, like we have today. That's something, but not like we have today. Ready-made food, ready-made clothing. Time for vacations and time for leisure. Those were rarities if they existed. Rarities if they existed. Our world is a completely different world. It would be unrecognizable by someone from 100 years ago, unrecognizable completely from someone who lived even 50 years ago. We have leisures, we have things that obviously were no cars, no planes, no bicycles, which were invented in the mid-1800s. These are gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Or as Levin used to always say, we are a poor generation. We wouldn't be able to survive without it. We'd be too far gone without these luxuries that we have. And therefore Hashem gave it to us. But they're not free. So the world has gone a bit beyond the typical Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is a time of work, a time of avoda. And we're no longer in that place of avoda. It seems a little bit different. We're in the world where we're almost being rewarded for just being here. I didn't do anything, and yet I was born in a world where I don't have an issue with a bathroom or running water. I'm born into this world. What did I do to get all this? I didn't deserve this, so to speak, more than my great-great-grandfather, who never had any of these luxuries. So what's the pshat? It's as if Mashiach has already arrived. The times of Yemos Mashiach and Olam Haba are here, but missing the most important aspect, which is Mashiach himself. We're in a world which is an Olam Haba world, but it's still Olam Hazeh. We get certain luxuries, and yet at the same time, we are expected to work. We have freedom and leisure to do things at our will. We don't have 12-hour work days, 6 days a week. That's not what we have. And yet, nonetheless, we're expected to work really, really hard. The Yemos HaMashiach are here, but we lose some of the Yemos HaMashiach because of it. This is based on Rabbi Hillel's Shita in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Hillel says, there is no Yemos HaMashiach. We lost the Yemos HaMashiach. They were gone because they were used up in the times of Chizkiah and the great kings of the middle times of David HaMelech's kingdom. The Yemos HaMashiach and all the good things we were supposed to get were gone. We should have had them, and they're all gone. And Rabbi Hillel said it's going to go straight to the next level, to the Tchias HaMesim, the future Olam Haba level, because we lost everything. And although we don't, I'm using the air quotes, and Paskin like Rabbi Hillel, because that's not how we go, we still have something of the Yemos HaMashiach left. Nonetheless, we're using it little by little. Whereas Mashiach should have come at some point, something changed because of it. Rav Tzadok HaKohen mentions in a few places that everyone thought that really 1740 was the time that Mashiach should come. 1740. If you go through, that would be altogether, the year should be, let's go from 1740 to 2040, it would be tough kuf, I believe. Tough kuf. That's hey, tough kuf. We're in hey, tough shin, ayin tes. But it should have been hey, tough kuf. And it didn't happen. Mashiach didn't come at that time. There were some tremendous gedolim at that time. In the 1700s, we're talking about these monumental, unbelievable tzaddikim and gaonim that were living. The beginning of the Hasidim, but you're dealing with the Vilna Gaon. Rabbi Kiva Eger was still a young man at the time. Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. You have tremendous gaonim that were living at that time. But it didn't happen. Instead, the world changed. And from 1740 and on, that's when the Industrial Revolution really picked up speed and it became a different world. So although we didn't have the Amos Mashiach and Mashiach coming down and bringing stuff to us, instead, the world changed to be like the Amos Mashiach, a little bit. The Amos Mashiach light, we'll call it. The Amos Mashiach light, but not the full Amos Mashiach, not with Mashiach itself, missing something drastically that we don't have whatsoever. That was his idea. That doesn't mean we stop using the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to have these gifts, we're allowed to use them. We can use the technology that we have today. We're allowed to use all the gifts that Hashem gave us to make our lives easier because they're here. But we have to be conscious of the fact that they're here because the Amos Mashiach are already being brought to us. It's as if we're missing something. And we can see, just from the world that we have today, how things can change so drastically in such a short amount of time. How everything can change just like that over a period of 10 years, 5 years, 20 years maybe, right? In which everything can change completely. Rav Dessler says a different idea in Chelek Hay. Says on page 126. And although it's a little different, I think it's around the same type of line. I never understood it as an argument with what Rabbi Levin was saying. Something a little bit there. As the years go by, we see this in our normal world. The technology that people thought would last forever is completely obsolete. Anybody who knows anything about computers knows if you have the same computer 10 years later, you have nothing. You have no idea what to do with yourself. It can't even work on the same operating systems that it did before, or if it does, it's extremely slow and unable to do anything. You have little bits and pieces that are right there. All the sci-fi movies of the 60s, what were they showing? They were showing these massive computers that took up these huge rooms, these clunky robots that were just sitting there going around like that. These things that just didn't make any sense to us today. We look at things today and we say, nobody would ever make this. Why would somebody want something like this? That's what you see. When it goes on and you go on to the movies a little bit further on, they tried showing what the world would be like, almost like a dark world where everything was a little bit different. Gadgets that people had that make no sense to normal people in society. And now we think to ourselves that these cell phones that we have, they're the ultimate. We've got the ultimate. How could it get any better than this? We have little tiny things we can put in our pockets, but we know, and I think we all understand this, you won't recognize what we have today 10 years from now. It won't be recognizable. How that's going to change, I can't tell you. I have absolutely no idea. But something is going to change, and people are going to look at what we have. They're going to see pictures of us 10, 15 years from now. They're going to say, well, what was that? What are you doing? You ever tried explaining to anyone? Have you ever seen, I shouldn't even say this, a rotary phone? How it looks so just ridiculous. Those little turn dial phones and how it goes through, they just don't make any sense. And as much as we think we're on the precipice of technological advancement, and we're there, obviously, we're not even close. We're not even close to the way the world could be. Again, 20 years from now, 25 years from now, an unrecognizable world when we get into the year 2050 if Mashiach wouldn't come. In Yoel, Perek Gimel, he, so to speak, predicts this. He calls it, Acharei Kein. After all this, after everything happens, Yoel is going on about the famine in Perek Aleph, and then he goes on how the world is going to change in Perek Beis, and in Perek Gimel, Acharei Kein, Eshpoches Ruchi al Kol Basar. I'm going to spill out my Ruach upon all flesh. What he means is, in the future world, the world will be filled with Das, filled with knowledge, to the point where you'll be Zoche to Ruach HaKodesh. If a person has Ruach HaKodesh, that can be, in a certain way, a higher level than Nevuah. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's a Gemara, first of all, Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says that in some ways, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were greater than Daniel, because they were Nevi'im, and Ihulav Navi. He wasn't a Navi. But in some ways, Daniel was greater than Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. How is Daniel greater than Mishael Chanan and Mishael Azariah? Says the Gemara, he was able to understand the vision that he was shown, and they weren't. What did Daniel have that made him different? So the Marsha says there, because he had Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is something special, where you can see things without knowing exactly what it is. There's no direct vision. There's no speech from Hashem. You're not talking to God directly. You're not even talking to a Malach directly. You just know things. You know things. They're in your head. It's already there. What that means is, Ruach HaKodesh is there for you to know exactly what you need. In Erevin, Salach Dalet Amud Beis, Rebbe Gamliel used to know the names of the people that were greeting him without even asking them. He just could tell. His Ruach HaKodesh was so great, he could greet them by name and say hello to them as if they were good friends of his. That's where his Ruach HaKodesh led to. It could even be that Ruach HaKodesh allows you to see what people are thinking. Esther Amalka wrote in Megillas Esther what Haman was thinking as he went through. The Gemara goes through in Megillah again. How do we know that the Megillas Esther was written by Ruach HaKodesh? And there are a bunch of examples given. I think it's 8 altogether that are given. Different examples of how we know it was written Ruach HaKodesh. One of the examples is given. Haman said to himself, Vayomer Haman Belivo. How could Esther have known what Haman was thinking to himself? How could that be? She had Ruach HaKodesh. That's what the Gemara answers. But that means that Ruach HaKodesh allows you to know what other people are thinking. That's an amazing ability. Nevuah doesn't do that. Nevuah, if Hashem tells you what someone's thinking, then you can get that Nevuah. That's a high level. Ruach HaKodesh, you can see what other people are thinking just by looking at them. You have an ability to know that just by being there. So if that's so, what in the world do you need a cell phone for? You know what other people are thinking. If there's such an ability to connect to another person without even talking to them, there's no need. Ruach HaKodesh allows you to do that, says Rav Dessler. Then what's the point of a phone? It's unnecessary. The whole mail system goes down. You don't have to invite someone to a bar mitzvah. It's simply, I'm making a bar mitzvah. And everybody's like, got it. And that's it. Ruach HaKodesh allows everyone to know everything at all times. No need for paper, no need for pens, no need for any type of emails, phones, anything like that. They're totally unnecessary. There's no need for radio, for music. Everything is just there. You have everything in your head. Whenever something's happening, you have it right there inside your head. Tiff and Dessler, they're totally obsolete. Person's going to look at another person with a phone. You're just going to say, what do you need that for? What's the point? It's completely gone. As for transportation, Rav Dessler says this. I've never seen this inside. It could be that in those days there will be kfitzas haderech. You decide where you want to go and you're there. Teleportation. You just allow yourself to be wherever you are because the land folds up beneath you and you find yourself there. The Gemara mentions only 3 people were zocheh to that. Eliezer of Avram in Parshas Chayisara, Yaakov Inu in Parshas Vayetze, and then we have Avishai ben Tzruya in a Gemara Sanhedrin Sadi Heyamad Aleph. Those are 3 people that got kfitzas haderech. And the Baal Shem Tov, obviously, with Alexei, the wagon driver. This is the 4th, I guess. But that's it. Now we're going to have kfitzas haderech whenever we need. It's going to be completely different. There's no need for a car. What do you have a train for? A plane? A boat? No need. There's no need for trucks. You don't have to bring things to other places. It just automatically gets there. You want to bring one thing from one place to the other? It's automatic. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza wanted to donate a massive rock to the base of Mikdash. He put his finger on it. The Malachim carried it for him. The kfitzas haderech is automatic. It's right there. What do you need any of that for? Refuah. All sicknesses are gone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our rofe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Hospitals are completely gone. So not only do you not need retail anymore, so you lose every mall and every store and everything out there. All phones are gone. All email is gone. Mail places, all gone. But aside from that, you don't even need hospitals. There's no need. We all work on ourselves. We work on ourselves when we become better. There's no surgery. There's no medicine needed. It's all gone. No nursing homes in Chicago. Can you believe such a thing? There's nothing. It's all gone. Food? Food will be made on the tree itself. You have everything ready for you. It's not just apples on a tree. It's apple pie on a tree. The Gemara says that there were 4 things that the tree that Adam Rishon ate from, that the Eitz Hadas was. Grapes, okay, a grapevine tree, however you want to call it. Figs, we get that. It's a fig tree. We have a possibility of it being an esrog tree. And then it says wheat. What's wheat? So the Gemara says in Ksuvah Staf Kuf Yud Aleph, and it's mentioned also in Sanhedrin Tzadiches, that La'asid Levo, in the future, the trees will take gluskos. You're going to have trees that grow cakes from the trees themselves, and you'll grab them from the trees and eat it like that. There's no need for ready-made food. It's made on the tree. You have everything ready. Adam Rishon had it. Adam Rishon had bread from a tree that's a wheat tree. It's an amazing, amazing Gemara. All this is ready for us. At the end of the day, you ask if we're going to have the current technology in the times of Mashiach? What a joke. What a joke. What do you need that for? You don't need any of the things. It's such a joke. Says Rav Dessler, looking at the world of what Mashiach is supposed to be like, and maybe according to the Rambam, this might be a little bit further down the line, not exactly when Mashiach comes, depending on how you understand and how you understand the Rambam and Tariq Yud Beis and Hilchos Shoftim. But let's say, just as an example, let's say this happens at the beginning of Mashiach. Will technology be there? No need. I don't think Rebbe Levin's arguing. I think he's saying our world shows us that these things could be possible so soon. We're getting closer and closer to what the Yemos of Mashiach are becoming, making it easier and easier and easier for us to the point where everything just goes there. So now you can tell, now you know how it felt for Yaakov to be without Ruach HaKodesh for 22 years. We look at it like, it's 22 years, Yaakov could deal. He had Ruach HaKodesh for every year of his life up until then. Yaakov had Ruach HaKodesh for the last 17 years of his life. So he went 22 years when Yosef HaTzadik was gone without Ruach HaKodesh. Do you know what it's like to live with Ruach HaKodesh and then lose it? No, we have no idea. It's like knowing everything and then knowing nothing all at once. That's terrible. It was the worst calamity that could have possibly happened. It was devastating to Yaakov Avinu. He couldn't deal with it. Yes, there's unbelievable stuff out there. But the times of Mashiach, everything is going to be so much greater. So much, colloquially, cooler than what it could possibly be in our world today. And that's what we're hoping for. That's what we're davening for. We're praying for those days to come along. The problem is we have no hasaga to understand it. We're getting close, but we have no real hasaga. But we're getting there. So when we ask, are you Yemos Mashiach coming? What are we hoping for? What are we waiting for? This is what we're waiting for. A world where we don't need the technology that we have today. Where everything's so good, there's no issue with these types of things. That's really what we're looking forward to. Have a good week, everyone.